not a philosophy. It's a person. Amen? It's a person. It's a person. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Man, he's the great I am. Don't you want to just shout it? Don't you want to just worship him? That is so powerful. All right, listen to this. I'm just going to read verse 5. I'm just going to read verse 5. It says, now hope. Faith, hope, love. Remember last week? Faith, hope, love. We're going to talk about hope in believing. Faith and hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope will not disappoint. You feel disappointed today? I got to tell you something. It's not God's fault. It's not other people's fault because the real hope they can't steal. It's on you today. And I want to just give you from the Word of God what you need to be filled with faith, hope, and love. Pray with me. Father, help us today to just continue to worship you and just receive your word into the deepest part of our soul, our spirit today, where your power by the Holy Spirit will transform us, Lord. I pray that lives will be changed today as we interact with the truth of the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who had no beginning and has no end, our Creator, the great I am. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
What the Bible calls hope is different than what the world calls hope. Because when the world's talking about hope, usually instead of hope, it's hype. Got one letter wrong there, right? And what the world calls hope a lot of times is what we would call wishful thinking. Okay? Wishful thinking. That's what it is. But what the Bible talks about is different than that. It's not a philosophy. It's a person. It's not just an attitude. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. Our hope is in him. Every bit of it. Bible, we saw last week, we're talking about the hope that purifies, how that he is the God of hope. He's the author of it. If you don't get it from him, you don't really have it. It's more than just wishful thinking. It's more than just a positive attitude. It is a confident assurance. I think there's faith involved in there somewhere, isn't there? Huh? Yeah. See, remember last week we started talking about how faith and hope go together? You're really going to see that this week. It is a confident assurance of future glory and blessing. But that's just scratching the surface. What? That's just scratching the surface. Because here's the thing. God wants to offer this to you, but it's up to you. So if you feel hopeless today, I got to say this. Don't blame God and don't blame others either. Because I want to tell you, this kind of hope, it doesn't matter how bleak your situation is. It doesn't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter what the doctors have said to you. It doesn't matter how many times you have failed. You just want to give up. It doesn't matter how you feel today. You can feel cruddy today. You can feel all today. Doesn't matter. It's not based on feelings or emotion. But it doesn't matter any of that. You can have genuine hope. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say it myself. Amen. As I said, it's part of the big three. Remember the big three? Big three? Faith, hope, and love? Okay. I'll put a few more verses up there. Some of these you saw last week, but we're not done with them. 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul said, now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It's like you, it's not just like these are just three big things. They are, but it's like you boil it all down, these three. These are the three. But these aren't just three separate things. What I've got to get us to see is that they're all part of each other. They're all connected. They are all connected, okay? And see how God is, it's all in the scripture. But he says, I put it there. You say, man, sometimes the Bible is hard to understand and study. And different ones have been called with and given gifts, spiritual gifts of teaching and preaching and different things. And I don't have that, but yes, all of us are called to be disciples, to study. That's why we come together, we all use our spiritual gifts, it all gets done. And that's why he didn't just lay it out there in some elementary form. We got to dig for it. You know why? He wants us to dig in that word. He wants us to get in there. Man, it never gets boring. Had a pastor. Oh, well, we haven't had a great. You have to understand, I'm very sleep deprived over the last several weeks. I haven't been home very much. Been in all these different conferences, our state convention this week. Had men's encounter Thursday through Saturday. And being there with so many people, just pouring their hearts out to the Lord and turning their heart into to the truth of God, it's been very powerful. So even though physically I'm tired, spiritually I'm on fire because I need that. I need to get close to other people who are on fire, and then the heat just grows. You know it? All right. So we've been just enjoying so much worship together. But the thing is that this is going to spread. This is contagious. All of this is contagious. And there's my prayer, is that enough of us are on fire and he sets our soul on fire, right? Yeah, yeah. Remember Third Day song, Soul on Fire? That's been like my theme song. Because that's what I want to be. I want to be just consumed by him. You know, not my fire, it burns out, but his fire. But see, when you're filled with this hope, and then the faith is part of it, and then the love that overflows, it will affect people around you. And I pray that we have enough people that are just overflowing with this, that when folks realize, man, I got struggles, I got problems, I'm a mess, that they'll know this is a place they can come. I hope they get it out of their head that I'm not good enough to go there. I hope they know that not being very good is the reason why you need to be here. And that they realize I can go there. And when they come here, they don't have any hope. They don't have any faith. They don't even know what love is. They're defeated. They're about ready to give up. But because they're around you and around you worshiping God and around you, and this is coming through your life, it's going to touch them. It's going to affect them. It's contagious. It will affect them. I pray it infects them. And we see lives changed. Because they're drawn to our Savior. So by these three, faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is love. They are connected. Here's what we're going to see. Faith and hope produced from God's love. Do you get that? It starts with God's love. Remember last week? It all starts right there. The only reason, see, the grace of God, the love of God, it's all part of the same thing. Because the grace of God is that God gave us his riches at Christ's expense. The only reason, see, because we're sinners, we're contaminated with sin, God is perfect, something had to be done about our sin, we're all in the same boat. That's why Jesus, and think about this, just think about how God came down to us. God didn't just come down and do something for us. God came fully God, but yet fully human. And he came into this human, he entered into our human. God himself knows what it's like to be a human. Blows my mind. And he did that to save us, to redeem us, to buy us back out of bondage. God did that for us. Wow. He did it because he loves us. And that's a love you don't earn or deserve. It's agape is the Greek word. You've heard that. Agape. He loves us that much. Remember John 3:16? For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Memphis, yeah, Memphis has been quoting that for us, hadn't he? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him don't have to perish, but you can have everlasting life. He did it all because of his love. It's out of the love, out of that love. That's the grace of God. Now, when you trust in that grace, you put your faith in that grace, that's when salvation comes into your life, okay? And you have hope. It all fits together. Faith and hope. And its source is all from God's love. Were it not for God's love, there would be nothing. It's always been God's plan. You see, it's not like God came up with this idea in the New Testament when he sent his son. It was his plan from before day one. I say before day one because he's the lamb that was slain, the Bible says, using that imagery, from before the foundations of the earth, before the earth was even the foundation laid up, before creation, that God already knew what it was going to cost him to create us and to love us, and he did it anyway. I can't believe that. It's just, I do believe it, but I'm saying I just can't process it. You know what I mean, right? Now, I also told you last week that this week I would tell you why he said love is the greatest of these. But it looks like I need to talk a little bit more about faith and a little bit more about hope. Before we do that, is that okay? the faith, which is the evidence of the hope, which is birthed out of the love, and because we're not there yet. Now, there's a whole lot of reasons, but I tell you what, I think next week we'll see the clincher. I want to see the clincher at the very end of the message of why he said what he said about that. And I'm excited. I want to do it now, but I'm trying to be disciplined here. I'm trying my best to be disciplined. So he says in this passage, this is an awesome passage, is it not? In Galatians chapter 5, you think, well, why are you turning there? That's the passage on faith. That's a passage on justification. There's a big word for you, which has to do with what happens when we get saved. We're justified. But I want to tell you that hope is just permeates this whole thing. Listen, he says in verse 1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, justified. That means though I was guilty because of what Jesus did, and he's going to explain, we're going to look at it. Because of what Jesus did and because I put my faith in that, now he says, even though you were guilty, I count you as not even guilty. Not just forgiven, but not guilty, justified. And the only way God can do that and still be true to his perfection and holiness is that the debt was paid by another, the only one qualified. And so he says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom? Who? Jesus Christ. Through whom we also have access by faith. You have access. You have access. In the Old Testament, only the high priest one time a year had access behind that veil in the tabernacle or the temple where the presence of God was. But he says every day 24/7, you have access through Jesus by faith in him to what? The grace in which we stand. That grace, that saving grace, God so loved the world that he gave his son to pay for your sins. You've got access to God because of this. Man, that ought to make us just want to stomp around a little bit or something. I don't know. I told him, I'm not really satisfied with our arrangement of everything in here, but we're here to worship, not decorate. But I told him, I said, we're going to have to do something here because I just three or four times almost, and I know you guys would not be happy if I walked out on top of the communion table. I just don't think you would like that. So I said, I've got to get down here. Anyway, this is exciting to me. And he says this, listen very closely. Look at verse 2. Look and listen. It says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And listen, and rejoice in what? You see it? Rejoice in what? Huh? Are you guys doing this? Huh? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're rejoicing in hope. There's your hope. It's there. I told you it was there. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, the Bible defines faith as the, well, let's go to the verse. If I can get us there. I'll put it up here. Hebrews 11:1, faith is what? Faith is the substance. You've been justified by faith, right? Okay, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see how faith and hope, see, it is your hope. You have this hope that he's given us of salvation, of future glory, this hope of God living in us and through us, that our faith is the substance of that hope. It is the evidence. And why do you have to, Paul said it in another place, you don't have to hope for what you see. That's why we're calling it hope, because we haven't got it yet. But he says it's the evidence of things not seen. That's the things concerning our hope. So our faith, our trust, faith isn't just believing, it's more than that, it's part of that, but it's trusting, submitting, relying totally upon him. And as we do that, our faith then gives evidence, it gives substance, it gives proof of that hope. Because you believe and you trust, things are going to happen in your life that's going to be real substance that shows that the truth of it. This has always been God's plan. You know, Hebrews 11, it goes all the way back to the beginning. Did you know that? To the Old Testament saints, all the way back to like Adam and Eve's son, Abel. Remember him? It goes all the way back to the beginning, showing that faith was always God's plan. It wasn't like in the New Testament, he says, this isn't working, I'm going to do something else. It was all part of the plan. And all the Old Testament was to teach and to prepare for that. All of the ceremonial law, the sacrifices, all of the judicial law and the moral law, all of that was pointing to the fulfillment of this plan in Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son. They were all anticipating this. But all the Old Testament saints, they did what they did. Because of faith. It says, by faith, Abel, by faith, Abraham, by faith, by faith. They had faith in the promise of God, though they hadn't received the fulfillment of all those things involved in that promise. They couldn't see it. It was their hope. Are you with me? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Abraham was a great man of faith. But faith is only as good as its object. You could put your faith in something that's not very reliable, and you're going to be let down. But you're talking about faith in God who created all things by the spoken word. You're talking about faith in God and faith in his promises. And when you trust with all your heart in that, guess what? God cannot fail. You believe that? Do you have faith in that? God cannot fail. If you have faith in the fact that God cannot fail, guess what? That means since your faith is substance of that hope, your hope can't fail. And it will radically change your life. Now, in Romans, are you still at Romans 5? Go up the page, Romans 4, 18. Because it talks about in hope, Abraham in hope believed. In hope he believed. Verse 18, talking about Abraham and the promise God made to him. Verse 18 of chapter 4 of Romans. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. That's that promise God made to him. It didn't seem logical. And why he said contrary to hope, because what he's saying there is that it was contrary to logical hope, to what would make sense in your human mind. I'm telling you, if you have got to logically make sense of things, you will never walk by faith. You want to be able to control it yourself. You really want to be your own God. You may not realize that, but that's where faith comes in, because he believed in something that didn't make logical sense, but yet it says he was filled with hope. Why? Because he believed. He had faith. Faith produces action, tangible, observable action. Oh, we also call that another word, obedience. See, right? See, I'm not obeying God to earn something. It's because I love him and he loves me and I trust him. And out of that trust, out of that faith flows action, obedience. And that's what every one of these, you know, Abraham, all of these guys that it mentions in Hebrews 11, it says by faith, but then it tells what they did. Right? Faith produces action. That's what James tells us, James chapter 2. So, when he says he in hope believed, you see that in Romans 4:18. The hope part you've got. But the believe part, did you know that word believed is the same Greek word that's translated faith? So he's not just talking about he just mentally said, yeah. It means he had faith. Faith and hope. Faith, hope, love. Faith and hope. Do you see how you see how they are tied? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In hope believed. In hope had faith. That's Abraham. He's our example. That's what it is. It's the same word. Because, see, faith noun, do you have faith? But then when you are acting out that faith, it's believing. So you've got the noun faith, and now you've got the verb faith. You're doing it. And it says here that in verse 19, it says in chapter 4, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. See, God said, you're going to have a baby. Do we have to explain this? Okay. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, verse 20. Now, this is what God's given in the promise. It's going to involve you and Sarah. I would like to point out, like, some of the oldest couples here and say, what about if God came to you now and said, but it would just be too weird. But this is the context of this. This is Abraham and Sarah. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, it says this. It seems so illogical. But it says in verse 20, he, Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't waver. The old King James says stagger. He didn't stumble over it. But it says, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened. He just decided, this makes no sense. I'm just going to believe that much more. Faith in God's promise, which involves God's love, God's grace, produces more hope. As your living hope grows, so does the evidence of it, your faith. As your faith grows, your hope grows. As your hope grows, then your faith grows. He was, you're going to see this. If you don't believe me, I'm going to blow you out of the water here. Well, I'm not, but Paul is. I'm just going to try to bring it out. Abraham was fully convinced. He was fully persuaded. I mean, it's not like, well, I'm just going to, but look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded or being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Do you believe that? Are you fully convinced? You just kind of think, well, those promises of God, I sure hope it works out. I get sick and tired of hearing people who call themselves Christians keep saying, well, I hope so, and it ain't the right kind of hope. It's wishful thinking. Well, I hope, you puny thing. The question isn't, where's your real hope? The question is, where is your faith? Are you fully convinced? Evidently not. I prayed with people. God give you strength, and God's going to give you the wisdom, and God's going to give you what you need. He's called you to this, or you know this is not his will. He wants to deliver you from that. And since he wants to, and you can go to his word and prove it, then he's going to give it. Well, I sure hope so. In other words, you want God to just do it for you. You don't want to have to put your faith in him. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And if you're short-circuited in your process, this could be where it's happening right there. Because you don't believe, you're not fully convinced. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Will you keep following me? Are you still in chapter 4? All right. He was fully convinced or persuaded. Therefore, guess what? Oh, this is going to bless you. Because it says, and fully convinced that what he had promised, he's able to perform. Verse 22, it says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. None of us are righteous. That means have a right standing before God. We're all sinners. And God, even though they were already doing all the sacrifices and all that, because the wages of sin were death, God said, here's what it's all about. It's about putting your faith in my promises. And because Abraham believed him, God said, I'm going to look at you, Abraham, because of your faith. I am not going to see the sin in your life. I'm going to see righteousness there. Now, he could do that because Jesus was going to come and pay for those sins and deposit his righteousness there. And God is the great I am. He's always in the present tense. The past, the present, the future are all present to him. Amen. And that's why he deposited righteousness in his account. I mean, what a bonus that God would look at me, a sinner. And we know some of Abraham's sin, don't we? It's in there. But God looks at me and he sees righteousness now because I have faith. That's what he's talking about there. He goes back and he quotes that verse from Genesis 15 when it says it was accounted to him for righteousness. You can go back and find that story in Genesis 15. But guess what? This wasn't just written for Abraham. When God said that to Abraham, he didn't just say it so Abraham could hear it and we could read about how it happened to Abraham. And I know it applies to you. The reason why I know it applies to you is because keep reading verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, or that righteousness was to impute, means to put it in him, to deposit it in his account, to credit it to him. It wasn't written just for Abraham that this was done, but guess what he says? But also, he says, for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him. You have your faith in him, he's going to do the same thing for you. He takes your sin, he died for those sins, he paid the price for those sins on the cross, and then the power of his resurrection, new life, he puts his righteousness in you so that you can say, me, the failure, the dirty sinner, the guy with the dirty mind, the woman with the negative critical spirit, that God forgives me and he wants to heal me of that, and he's going to look at me and not see my sin, he's going to see Christ's righteousness. Look how he explains it. He says, it shall be imputed to those who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's where that comes from. Who was delivered up because of our offenses, the cross. He paid for the sins. He rose to give us new life. It says, and was raised because of our justification. See, you see where that exchange happened? Do you see how he deposits into our account? He can only do that because he deposited into Jesus' account all of your sins. And he paid for them, paid it in full. And then he deposits Jesus' perfection into our account. That's what being a Christian is. Man, That's our position. Now, because that's the truth, it's going to radically change our life. That brings us, he says, to justification. Then chapter 5, he picks up, therefore being justified by faith, because we believe, guess what we have? We've got hope in the glory of God. I always thought Romans 5, 1 through 5 was mainly about justification, about faith. But I want to tell you, he's still talking about faith, hope, and love here. Those big three that you keep seeing show up. We have faith in the grace of God. That's the love of God, right? We only have grace because of love. And then we put our faith in that because of faith in Jesus. We have access. He tells, did you read that with me? Verse 2. We have access into the grace through the faith. The grace is his love. And guess what? Because of faith in Jesus, we have access to the grace, and he says we have joy. Because did you notice what he said? And rejoice, verse 2, in the hope of the glory of God. You've got joy. See, rejoicing. This is the way I look at it. You got joy. Now, joy is not just an emotion when it comes to God. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah? Joy is like one of the things God puts in you no matter what happens, so that when you have joy, you let that joy out. That's rejoicing. If you've really got joy in here, the joy noun has to turn into a verb too, right? Huh? You know, you got faith, it's going to produce action and obedience. You got joy, it's going to produce rejoicing. So don't come telling me you're just all filled with joy and there ain't no joy coming out. If you're really filled with joy, that means you're just filled up and you're going to overflow a little bit. And there's got to be some rejoicing. And that's what he says here, that we're going to be rejoicing in the hope of glory. I tell you what, people out there need to know, they see in a small town like this the problems that you go through and the heartaches and the headaches and the health problems and different things. But when they see that you've got joy in you, how are they going to see you've got joy in you? You've got to rejoice. It's got to come out. When they see that, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how messed up their minds are. They want to know what makes you tick. Because they would give anything to have that kind of hope that produces that. There's your hope. Hope in the glory of God. Remember last week we popped this verse up there? I'm going to pop it back up there if this thing will work. Okay, that's the wrong one. Going backwards here. There it is, Romans 15, 13. Remember that? He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. See, the God of hope is going to, because of that, is going to fill you up. What? Fill to overflowing. Joy. Do we see that? And peace. Well, we've already talked about that. Verse 1. Having been justified by faith, we have what? Go back and read it. Therefore, verse 1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we also rejoice. I'm telling you, the Word of God speaks with... These guys out there try to say, oh, the Word of God always contradicts himself. That's because they don't know the Word and they don't know the author. It speaks with complete harmony. Because right here, he's telling us again, the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. That's what we just saw. That you may abound in hope. That means overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the author of hope. A byproduct of it is being filled with all. Yeah. By the way, let me say it right. He didn't just say some joy and some peace. He said all joy and all peace. There's another sermon right there. All. Do you believe it? In believing. That's the faith part. Did you catch that? In believing. There's the faith. It just results in more hope, abounding in hope. The Holy Spirit's presence and power, hope, joy, peace, more hope, more joy, peace, huh? More hope. It never ends. So I have to ask myself, what's the matter with me? What is the matter with me? I want that. You want that? You can have that. You can have that. So even as much as faith is emphasized in this passage, it's the hope part of it that's highlighted maybe even more. Because as we go through tribulations, we haven't read all this. He says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, verse 3. You still got it? You still got your Bible out? We're not done with it. He says, and not only that, but, and by the way, I'll go quicker if I say something like, I like interaction. If I say, you got your Bibles out? You just go and say, yeah. Okay, you can do that. And because if you don't answer, ask Glenn. If you don't answer, I just keep asking the same thing over and over and over. And just, I want response. If we're just talking, I'm the same in here as I am out there. If we're talking, I kind of like to be looked at and interacted with, or I just keep hanging up there. Because he says in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Now, he's going on to tell us here that because we have this faith and this hope that we will, that's because we're going to go through tribulation, are we not?
Yes.
Or we are going through it, which produces perseverance, which produces character. Look at this. And character, what? We're right back to hope again. We started with hope, and now we're back to more hope. So let's get this. That it all comes right back to hope. So this is the thing, that we start with this faith in the grace of God. The love of God is what makes that available. And because of the hope we have, our faith is evidence of that. And we rejoice, we have joy, we have peace, and in the hope of the glory. And then because of that, as we go through tribulations, and when that happens, it's just going to cause us to get stronger, endurance. And then as we go through that, it's going to establish more proven character. And as we go through that, it's just going to add more hope. And this kind of hope, he says, does not disappoint. It will never let you down. Hey, hope, rejoicing in the glory of God. You see, listen, part of the hope applies to the future. We get to the glory. See, God's going to let us bask and live in his glory forever. Do you know that? Do you know that after resurrected, we're going to be what he calls glorified? Did you know that? We're going to be glorified. We're going to live in glory. Now that's the future part of it. But we not only have the future part of it. Actually, here's a weird thing. He says that we rejoice in the hope of glory. Not only that, but we glory in tribulation. Now, the word glory in verse 3 in English is not the same as in the word glory in verse 2 in the original language of the Bible. Actually, can I tell you something? I'm about done. Hang in there. Can I tell you something? The word glory in verse 3 is the exact same Greek word as the word rejoice in verse 2. Rejoicing helps us. They say, you glory. You're rejoicing. You are boasting. You have joy. And by the way, that's what James said. We joy in all kinds. Find it all joy. All kinds of trials. James said that. Count it joy. So anyway, that's what that word is. So the word not only indicates joy, but confidence. It involves faith also. It can denote you can use that word for boasting. Hey, it's not bragging if you can back it up. Amen. So we are now, here's what he's saying. We are triumphant and confident even now with all the tough and tragic times that we're going through. Even though we're experiencing tribulation, it's not just because we know that heaven's waiting. That's not all that's involved in our hope. But because we know God is, listen, all right, guys, stay with me. God is taking the tribulation. God is taking the pain. And God is turning them into more hope, which grows in proportion with our faith. It's not just about what we get in the end, heaven, but about who we are right now. There's nothing as awesome as that growing and deepening in that relationship with God. And the things that break other people down, the tribulations, will actually the things that tear everybody down, according to this, is going to turn around just to do this, add to your joy. And those things that tear you down, that tear other people down, will add joy and add peace and add more hope to you. I'd say it's a pretty good deal. Yes. Tribulation, he says, produces perseverance or patience. The word comes from a Greek word that means to abide under. Endurance might even be a better word. We hold up under the load. So as you go through tribulation, your endurance, your perseverance, your patience increases. As we experience the sustaining power of God, which is sufficient for every trial, holding us up, we're enduring, we get spiritually deeper. We get spiritually stronger. He calls that character. The word translated character here literally means proof. The Old King James renders it experience, which may be involved, but it's more than that. It's experience that matures us. I like the way the New American Standard translates that. It produces proven character. That's the idea. So you want to grow? Sorry, tribulation, required course. required course, I'm sorry. But it's an awesome thing what God does. So now we come full circle as the hope and the glory of God produces joy in tribulation, perseverance, proven character, resulting in a stronger godly hope. And guess what he says about this hope? This hope, it's never going to let you down. Here we go. Faith in this hope never, ever, ever disappoints. It never fails. It will not let you down. Have you ever been disappointed in something? I mean, you know, if you're a farmer or a pastor and you've got plans to go do anything, one little phone call, one little thing, and something has happened, and, you know, you're disappointed. Your plans fail. Disappointed. And maybe you've been disappointed by people, and you've been disappointed by a lot of things that's happened in life. And so maybe you say, yeah, because of what's happened to me, I don't want to get my hopes up. Well, here is a hope. I got to tell you something. I'm about to wrap it up. Stay with me. You are not even capable of getting your hopes up so high that you'll ever be disappointed. You can't do it. You can't do it. Look at this. You could never get your hopes up high enough. I want to tell you, your hopes aren't up high enough. Can you say that to yourself? My hopes aren't high enough. Don't be saying I'm afraid to get my hopes up. Even about what God wants to do in your own life right now. You can't get them too high. Do you feel a loss of hope? Are you willing to trust him and believe his promises? Even though, like Abraham, it doesn't really fit into your logical framework. You see how faith and hope go together? Do you get this? Here's a big point. Come on. For your hope to increase, your faith has to increase with it. Do you see that? You need more hope? Trust him. Trust him. He's the God of hope. I just don't know if I have hope. Well, then make a decision to just go on ahead and trust him. That's faith. It's up to you. You can make a decision. I will trust his word. I will be fully convinced. I will not waver or stumble. And when you do that and you act on that, see? Action. You act on that. Your faith is going to grow. And if your faith is growing, your hope, faith is just the substance of things hoped for. As your faith grows, the hope grows. As the hope grows, the faith grows to keep up with it. And it just keeps going till we're going to find out, Lord willing, next week what happens when he comes and yanks us out of this world. It's going to be awesome. Hope involves value. You don't feel valuable today? This hope is birthed out of the love of God that said, you are so valuable, I'm giving my son to die for you. That's valuable. God's placed incredible value on this. God has placed incredible value on you. He gave his son. Do you believe that? There's your hope. There's your hope. Right there. One more thing. One more supernatural, incredible, awesome thing. According to Romans 5:5. I didn't read all the last verse, did I? He said, this hope does not disappoint. Doesn't make you ashamed because you're disappointed. It says, why? We're back to love. We're back to love, faith, hope, love. He said, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do you have hope in believing? Like Abraham, do you have hope in believing? Do you want to? It's up to you. Trust him. Father, help us today to just keep trusting you. And as we do that, we're going to hope in you.